All right, then we'll say good morning. Let's begin. All right, so we begin with the Mishnah on the top of Pei Aleph Amud Aleph. So again, remember the Mishnah here is continuing on the theme of Hotzah. Specifically, again, what is the shear? What is the specific shear for Hotzah? So says the Mishnah, Etzem, if one is carrying, and Etzem is a bone, Kedei Lasos Targot. So one is only tied if they carry enough bone in order to be able to fashion out of it a spoon. Rabbi Huda Omer Kedei Lasos Menuchaf. Rabbi Huda says, no, it's enough to go ahead and fashion out of it a lock. We'll further define this again in the Mishnah. But a lock. Zuchuchis, what about glass? Kedei Ligror Es Rosh HaKarkar. Enough glass to go ahead and sharpen the top of the weaver's pick. Rashi says, Karkar, eight yesh la organ. There is a specific piece of wood, a sharpened piece of wood that the weavers have. The rosh chad, and its tip is sharp. Tzror, O Evan, it's carrying a tzror and oven, a pebble or a stone. Kedei lizrok ba'of. You're only chayed if you carry a big enough stone or pebble to be able to throw at a bird. Rabbi Elazar Yaakov says, Kedei lizrok bebehema. It has to be a big enough stone to throw at an animal. Now again, obviously, the stone to throw at an animal, we'll discuss what this means in the Gemara, is larger than the stone to throw for a bird. Says the Gemara, Lameimra the shiur Rabbi Huda nafish. Is that to say the shiur Rabbi Huda is larger? So we'll say, the Gemara is now commenting on the first machlokis in the Mishnah. So the first machlokis was regarding the etzem. So remember, the Tanakhama said, in order to be chayiv for carrying a bone, it has to be large enough to be able to fashion out of it a spoon. Rabbi Huda says to make out of it a lock. So the assumption the Gemara was making was that Rabbi Huda's being more machmir, that Rabbi Huda's shear is larger than the shear of the Tanakhama, which remember, larger shear in these situations actually represents what? It's a kula. Right? It's a kula because remember, the smaller the shear, the easier it is to be in violation of Hotzah. The larger the shear, the more you have to be known to be in violation. So Gemara says, that's it, Rabbi Huda's shear is larger. How Kaimalan? The shear of Drabanan, of Shabbos, is actually yesterday's daf. We saw yesterday that the shear of Drabanan is larger. Ula says, you're right, Amr Ula, Chafi Posachas. When we say lach, what are we talking about? Rashi points out over here, Chafi Posachas, Shinayim Hakivuimba. We're talking about the teeth of the lach. Right, so remember the lock, it's talking about the inner mechanisms of the lock. So Rabbi Huda doesn't mean to say the whole lock, he just means the mechanisms, the teeth of the lock, which is a smaller shear, apparently, than the Taravot. Tanarabanan. Now, once the Gemara brought up the lock and its teeth, the Gemara is going to quote another halacha regarding this. Tanarabanan. Chafi posachas, when you deal with the teeth of the lock, tahorin. They are tahor. They're talking about, say, what does that mean that they're tahor? Look at Rashi. Chafi posachas tahorin. The chol's man shalo chibran ba inan ru'uyin leklum. Because the teeth of a lock, as long as they have not been attached to the lock itself, really have no purpose. Really have no, they're not a kli. Because it's not a kli, then by definition, it's not in the kabbal tumah. Kavan biposachas. However, once you attach the teeth to the lock itself, then tmein. Then by definition they're tummy, because the lock is a clean. Therefore anything that's part of the lock is also going to be makabal tuma. Vishelgal is actually interesting. What if you have the lock of a gate? Right? So you have a gate and the gate has a lock attached to it. Afal pi shechibran badalis, even though you attach the lock to the door of the gate, vikavan bimisarin, and you nailed it in, tahorin. The lock itself is tahor. Why? Shikalam mechuber lekarka hariyuk karka. Because anything that is attached to the ground, by definition, has the status of karka, and we know that karka is not mekabel tuma. Okay, says the Gemara. Zuchuchis kedei ligror bo. So glass, you have to carry enough glass in order to go ahead and sharpen the tip of the weaver's pick. So the Gemara says, Tana zuchuchis kedei liftzua ba shnei nimin ka'achos. And again, the glass itself has, so Tana gives the advice, it gives another explanation, that glass, enough to go ahead and cut two warp threads at once. Okay. Tsurar o evin kedei lizrok ba'of. Rabbi Elazar omer kedei lizrok bebehema. So right, if you have a stone or a pebble, it has to be large enough to go ahead and throw at a bird. And Rabbi Elazar says it has to be large enough to go ahead and throw it at an animal. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yaakov, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, v'hu shemar geshes ba. When we speak about the size of this stone, it has to be large enough that if you were to throw it at the animal would feel it against its body. The Kamashiguro, and how big of a stone is this? Tanya Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Omer Mishkal Asara Zuz, the size, the weight of 10 Zuz. Okay? Zonin ol lebe midrasha. So Zonin, name of a person, went to base medrash. Omrilu, he said to them, Rabosai, avonim shal beis hakisei shiurin bekama. He said, Rabosai, what is the shear for stones of the beis hakisei? Now remember again, we actually studied this extensively in Brachos. We got smicha in this sugya already, the stones of the beis hakisei. So remember again, in Talmudic times, in best Talmudic times, there was no toilet paper, so people were using stones to clean themselves after they relieved themselves. So the shayla that Zonin was asking was, like, what is the shear for the stones of the beis hakisei? Now, what does that mean? It's a very interesting shayla. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says, shi'urin bekama. Rashi says, lehischayev alehen. Lehischayev alehen. So what is the shear? What is the shear to be chayev for? Inami, the taltalan bechotzer ulach nisal beis hakisei. So Rashi puts almost in, the Gemara, Zon can be asking one of two questions. Question A is, what is the shear of stones to be chayev for otzah? Meaning, how many stones do you have to carry in order to be chayev for otzah on Shabbos, of these, like, wiping stones? How many do you have to carry to be chayev for Shabbos? Or, the second challenge I'd be asking is what is the din l'gali muktzah? Now remember, normally stones are muktzah. But obviously, again, these stones would have a purpose. So how many stones can you carry on Shabbos and not be in violation of muktzah? Now Rashi says at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter why, because Rashi says, v'idi v'idi chad shihurahu. So in the end of the day, the answer to both questions really is the same. Because a significant shear, i.e. the amount that you would need for the bathroom, is the amount that you would be chayiv for hotso. So whether Zonin was asking, how many stones can I carry on Shabbos and not in violation of muktzah, or how many stones would I be chayiv for transporting, the shear is one and the same. So says the Gemara, listen to this. This is actually a fascinating Gemara. So they said to them, Amrulo, so they said to Zonin, there are three stones that you need for the bathroom. This kezayis, keegos, ukebeitza. One stone the size of an olive, one stone the size of a nut, and one stone the size of an egg. So this is actually interesting. Look at Rashi just a moment over here. Rashi says, kezayis, keegos, kebeitza, shalosh machnisin likinuach umekaneach zu achar zu. So there was a system for cleaning oneself after one defecated. So you would go and use these stones in succession. First you would use kizayis, you would use the small stone first. V'achlas egos, v'achlas kebeitza. B'tchila mekaneach piarei biktano, lahasir rei hanid baksham, sha'agodol po cheses umalach leisigos. So apparently the way it worked was, you would start with the smallest stone. I guess it's like more precision. And then afterwards, you go ahead and you go to the larger stones. So listen to this. So Zonin says, thank you very much. Amar lo, v'chi tortani yachnis, should I bring a scale with me into the bathroom also? Right? Meaning, so really what Zonin is asking is just a general question of, give me like a shear. Don't tell me kezayis, kebeitza, keegos. What am I supposed to do with that on Shabbos? Give me a shear for Shabbos. Nimnu v'gamru, melo ayat. So they discussed this and it came up, you know what it is? A handful of stones. Because I guess if you think about it, if you take a stone the size of a kezayis and egos and the kibetza, that'll pretty much fill up your hand. So any amount of stones, a handful of stones is the shear for Shabbos. So what that means, Rabbi says the following. What that means is, a handful of stones is the amount of stones you'd be permitted to transport. Let's say in your chatzer. There wouldn't be a muktzah restriction on, because remember, muktzah is derabanan. Chazal have the right to go ahead and lift their gezer in certain circumstances. So they allowed you to transport stones for the sake of cleaning yourself after going to the bathroom. So a handful of stones would be the amount that you could transport in the Zopal Muktzah, but a handful of stones would also be the amount that you'd be chayiv for Otzah. Now we'll say this is going to be our sugya that we're going to be dealing with for a little while. Tanya Rabbi Yossi, Omer Kizayis Keegos Kebeitza, Rabbi Yossi says that the shear for Shabbos, the stones are Kizayis Keegos Kebeitza, Shum Rabbi Yossi, Omer Mishum Ovid Melo Hayad. And Rabbi Shimon says, "Nei Rabbi Yossi, a handful of stones." But in essence, those are both really the same shear, a handful or these three stones. Tarabanan, b'Shabbos, or Tarabanan, Gimel Avonim Mikur Zolos Mutra Lahachnis LeBeis Hakisei. So on Shabbos, you are permitted to go ahead and bring in Mikur Zolos, means sharp-sided, sharpened stones. Apparently, for wiping purposes, a person would not use a dull stone. You would use a little, obviously not too sharp, but sharpened somewhat. So you could bring in three sharpened stones to the Beis HaKisei. The Kamashirin, and what is the shira of these stones? Rabbi Meir Omer Ke'egos, Rabbi Meir says the size of a nut. Rabbi Huda Omer Ke'beitza, I believe this is like an egg. Omer Rafam Bar Papa, Omer Rav Chista, Ke'machlokes Kan, Kach Machlokes Liesrog. So Rafam Bar Papa says, the same that we have Machlokes over here by the shear of the stones for wiping, it's the same shear for Esrog. Now, what does it mean? The same way that let me explain this, right? The same way that there's machlokis at the minimum shear for the stones, there's the same machlokis as to the minimum shear for Esrog, right? There's machlokis, does the Esrog have to be a ke'egos? Does it have to be a ke'beitza? So the same machlokis at shear, you're merely saying machlokis by Esrog. One second. Hasa masnisin, hocha braisa. No, it doesn't make sense. The machlokis by Esrog is a Mishnah. Here the machlokis is the braisa. Right? The way you should say it is, Ella, ki machlokis be'esrog, kach machlokis kan. Rather, the way you have to say it is how, the same way there is a machlokis by esrog, so too there is a machlokis here. Meaning, also what it means is, a Mishnah is always more authoritative than a braisa. So it means, is the same way there's a machlokis by shum of esrog, there's also a machlokis here. Practically speaking, it doesn't matter, it's just how you conceptually arrange the argument. Amar Rabbi Huda, Avaloes ha-pais, but you may not carry pais. My pais, what is pais? That's not a Hasidic iteration of pais, right? My pais, Amar Rabbi Zera kashini bavliaisa. It refers to Babylonian pebbles. Now, what does that mean? Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, kashini bavliaisa. Haki mikru mishum shebavol eretz lochahi uva macharish shemal eregavim. So apparently in Babylon, in Babylonia, the soil was very moist. So what happened is you had like clods of earth that looked like stones, but they really weren't stones. They were just clods of earth. You could not use them for wiping. Why? Obviously, because they would come apart. So the Gemara is pointing out over here that the heter to go ahead and transport stones, which would normally be mukta for wiping purposes, only applies to real stones and does not apply to these Babylonian clods of earth. They call the Babylonian pebbles. Amar Rava, Asra lemashmesh b'tzurah b'shabbos, keder shemashmesh b'chol. Rava said, memashmesh literally means manipulate. Look at Rashi, memashmesh, hanitzrach lipanos, ve'eni yachal lipanos. Someone has to defecate and they can't do it. Armina lekamam b'perikin, de'memashmesh b'tzurah b'nekev. So apparently what they would do is they would take a stone and manipulate the orifice in order to stimulate defecation. V'hu niftach. So now Rava says that you can't do this on Shabbos in the way that you do it during the week. So the Gemara says, maskif lamar zotra, listaking. First of all, Rashi says over here, well, alright, we'll go on. So Marzucha comes along and says, v'listaking, so a person should put themselves in danger. The Rabbi says, Chazal felt that if a person has a need to defecate and they don't do so, that one is literally putting oneself in health danger. So Marzucha says, and what, so a person should just put themselves in sakana? Rather, the Gemara says, no, kila achar yad. Rather, what the Gemara means to say is, if you have to go ahead and do this, we'll call this manual stimulation, then halacha lemaisa, you should do it with a shinui. Now, we haven't discussed what's wrong with it. We'll discuss it in just a moment. Amar Rav Yanai, im yesh makom kavod le'beis hakisei, melo hayad, im lav ke'achreya. So I'll say this is interesting. So Rav Yanai says something fascinating. He says, if you have a makom kavod for a beis hakisei, now remember, Rabbosai, very often times of the Gemara, where was the bathroom? Wherever you decided, right? Wherever you have the urge. So now, with the Gemara saying over here, but they obviously had a Beis HaKisei Kavua also. It's a tough crowd this morning without coffee. Alright, so now, the Gemara saying Beis HaKisei Kavua. So Beis HaKisei Kavua literally means an established place that people made into a Beis HaKisei. So the Gemara says something very interesting. There, if you have Beis HaKisei Kavua, you are permitted to carry a handful of stones. Right? This is Mokta issues now. Why permitted to carry a handful of stones? Because again, even if you don't use all of them now, then what? You'll use them later on Shabbos. Yeah. So they'll have we wouldn't view that as an act of unnecessary tiltul. However, but if the Beis HaKisei is not established, meaning you're just using a random place, then kechreya. Then you have to take kechreya. Literally means like a compromise shear. Look at Rashi kechreya. Kishir hamachriya keegos. Nafish, gizayif, sezutra mikabeitza. Then you could only carry a nuts amount of stones. So a wide nuts amount, because that's the pshar, that's the compromise. It's not the kezayis, which is little, and it's not a kavetza, which is large. You could carry a compromise amount of stones. Okay? It's an interesting case. Meducha kitana shal besamim. If you have meducha kitana, literally means meducha is a mortar, but it doesn't mean the mortar, it really means the pestle. Right? When you had a mortar, you had a mortar and a pestle. The mortar was like the receptacle, and the pestle was the
squasher.
That's the technical term, right? The squasher. The
tamper, I think. Yeah, it's called a tamper. It's a tamper, isn't it?
The stone squasher.
Go with it.
Right,
he's
good.
The master. The stone. He says it's the grinder.
Julian said grinder.
Yeah.
Okay, good. He's an English guy. Good. So the grinder, fine. So the grinder. So what's his actually? So obviously that was stone. That was stone. So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, I'm sorry. So meducha ketan shal b'samim, amar Rav Sheshes, im yesh ala eid mutter. So we'll say, what's the case over here? Look at Rashi. Rashi is meducha ketana. Now, under normal circumstances, meducha ketana, milachto le'isr aslataltal. Now, remember, normally the pestle, right, the grinder, is mukta. It's kushel milachto le'isr. So Rashi says, im yesh ala eid, kinuach hameid sha'asu yilakaf, motlataltal kinuach. Now, we'll say, it's actually interesting. If there's physical evidence on it that it's been used for wiping purposes in the past, then hopefully you didn't use it as a mortar in the middle, right? But if there's evidence of that you've used it, that you've used it in the past, then you're permitted to go ahead and carry it on Shabbos. Meisvei, Shigimar says, one second. Asar dvar mevien asadun lidei tachtonios. There are 10 things the Gemara says that cause hemorrhoids. The Eluhain, these are they. Ha'ochel alei kamin, if one goes and eats the leaves of reeds. Alei gifonim, eats the leaves of grapevines. Lulove gifonim, eats the shoots of grapevines. Morigi behema below melach, eats the ridged pieces of meat.
Ridged.
Morigi is ridged. Ridged pieces of meat. Right, so ridged pieces of meat represent this idea of there are certain parts of the animal that have ridges. Whether it's the throat of the animal, the stomach of the animal, the tongue of the animal, they're not smooth pieces of meat. So if you eat these pieces without melach, without salt, or shidro shel dog, the spine of a fish, dog maliach shlo bishul kol tzarcho, salted fish that wasn't fully cooked, hashol se shmar yayin, someone who drinks the dregs of wine, mekaneach besid ubecharosis, one wipes oneself with lime or with charosis as a pottery shard, or bitzror shekiniach bochadero, or if someone wipes himself with the stone that his friend used. The yesh omrim, af hatola azabis akise, or one says, literally, tola azabis akise means one who suspends oneself in the bathroom, which means that one does not sit, but rather one squats. So we saw that actually earlier also, that chazal often has a negative effect on the individual. So we'll say, why are we quoting this whole thing? For our purposes, the only one we really care about right now is bitzror shekiniach bochadero, the stone of friend's use. See, Rabbi said, the Gemara just said before that if you have the pestle that has traces of it that it was been used before, then you can use it on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, but one second, the Braisa says over here that you really should not use a stone that was used by someone else because it could cause, again, negative health detrimental health effects. So the Gemara says, lo kashya, habalach, habal yavish. When is it detrimental? When the traces are still moist. But if it's dried, then it's not a problem. V'vayzema, kan mitzad echad, v'kan mibeisit studin. Or alternatively, when is it problematic? When the traces of prior usage are on both sides. But if there's one part, one side of the stone that was not used, then you could use that again. V'vayzema, hadidei hadechavrei. Or perhaps again, one is referring to when it was used by me before versus my friend. If it was used by me before, then I could reuse that stone. If it was used by someone else, that's not the problem of reusing it. What happens if it rains and the rain nishtashtishu literally means the traces of prior use were smeared, meaning that it erases the traces of prior use. This is asking a reverse question. Now what we're saying is that a stone that was set aside for wiping did not be muktzah on Shabbos. What happens if it rains and then the traces of prior usage were erased? Does that negate my ability to use that stone on Shabbos or not? Amrlei im hayarishuman nikar mutar. as long as, again, the trace, as long as there's some trace of prior usage that's recognizable, that one is permitted to use this stone on Shabbos. Boy, minei rava barav shila mirav. Mirav kisra, excuse me. Amud beis. Sarah barav shila asked the following klasha of Rav Chisda. Mahu laha'alosam acharav legad. Are you permitted to go ahead and take stones up with you to the roof? To the roof, Rashi says, im ala sham lipanos mi chashina latircha yisera o lo. If you, let's say a person is going to relieve themselves on the roof of the house, hopefully it's not someone else's house. Right? So, yeah, if you're taking up, so the shaila is, can you take the stones up with you? They will say, what's the shaila? We've seen already that there's a dispensation to go ahead and carry stones for the sake of wiping yourself. But the assumption is that's in the general area. Taking it up to the roof is an additional tircha. Are you permitted to do that on Shabbos? Amrlei, gadol kavod abriyos, shedochas lo saseh shabbatorah. Shem Chista responded, yes. Why? Because we see great is kavod abriyos. Great is the need to preserve one's dignity, that the Torah even permitted prohibitions because of it. Now Rashi points out over here, what is that referring to? Look at Rashi. Shedochas lo saseh dichsev. So remember, the Torah says by Hashavas Aveda that if you see the lost object of your friend, you are not permitted to go ahead and turn a blind eye to it. You can't hide from it. You can't pretend like you don't see it. Rather, you have to go ahead and engage in the Hashavas Aveda. So the Gemara says, Prat lezakin ve'in lefikavoda. But there are certain exceptions. Certain exceptions would be, let's say if you have an elder, let's say the lost object is something that's not bakavadik. For a person of a certain stature to go ahead and pick up. And I don't know, you know, you see a pair of socks on the streets. Let's say a person is a zokin, a person is an elder, a talmud chacham. It's not bakavadik for them to pick up the pair of socks and start trying to figure out who it belongs to. So the Torah says, under certain circumstances, when it's not bakavadik for you, you are not obligated to go ahead and return the lost object. So Rav Chisda says, you see from here, that under certain circumstances, Chazal lifted their obligations in cases of Kavod Abrios. So therefore, Rav Chisda wants to say, that therefore Chazal would allow you to carry the stones up to the roof if you need them to clean yourself after relieving yourself. So the Gemara says, Yasa Meremar Ka'amar Le Lahashma Yisoh. Eser Avina Lemeremar. Rav Elazar Omer. So now they brought a kasha to this. Rav Elazar says, Notel Adam Kisei Mishalafan of Lachosot Boshinov. A person is permitted to go ahead and take a piece of wood, literally a splinter, to use as a toothpick if it's sitting right on the ground in front of him, to go ahead and clean out his teeth. Lachos Boshinov. So what's that? What, now remember, under normal circumstances, a splinter of wood would be mukta. So Rabbi Lazar says, but however, to walk around with food in the middle of your teeth is not bakavadik, it's not kavad abrios, and therefore again you're permitted to pick a splinter of wood up off the ground to pick your teeth. And the chacham say, no, you may not do that. The only time you could take it, avos shel behema, literally is from the crib of an animal, the place where an animal nests itself. So that's considered muchan, because sometimes the animal even eats those things. Therefore, that's considered prepared, and therefore you could go ahead and do it. So Gemara says, 1 second. So we'll say, what do you see from there? You see from there that at least according to the Chachamim, that the Chachamim don't say you could do whatever you want to recover the Abrios. They don't even allow you to pick up a splinter from the floor. According to them, you can only take the splinter of woodware from the cradle of the animal. It has to be muchan. So the Gemara says, it's not a good comparison. Hachi hashda hasam adam kovea mokom l'su'uda. It's different. Because a person knows where he's going to have his su'uda. Because of that, he should have prepared the toothpick beforehand. Therefore, if he didn't prepare the toothpick, we don't let him take the splinter of wood from wherever he wants. He can only take it from a place that it's mukhlam, it's prepared. Ha-ha, adam koveyam bakum lebeis hakiseh. But does the person prepare the place where he's going to go to the bathroom? The question is, of course not. That a person doesn't know when or where they're going to need to relieve themselves. And therefore, Chazal gave them a little bit more latitude to be able to carry the stones to wherever they need. Fine, says the Gemara. Amar Afuna, Asr la Adam lefanos b'sadeh nir b'Shabbos. A person is not permitted to relieve themselves in a sadeh nir. A sadeh nir, Rashi says, Charish rishona ve'omi lezria, a plowed field that is ready to be planted. You can't relieve yourself in a plowed field that's ready to be planted on Shabbos. My time, what's the reason? Ilema mishum dovsha. If you want to say it's because we're concerned that what's going to happen. Dov Shirashi says that you're going to trample the field. Right? If the field is already plowed, we don't want you walking through it because you're going to trample the field and prevent the seeding, the planting from happening there. If that's the case, afilu v'chol nami, then you shouldn't be able to walk through that field even during the week. That's not a question of Shabbos. That's a din of just ruining your friend's field for planting. Ela mishum asavim. Rather, it must be because of asavim. Now, what's the pshat with asavim? Look at Rashi. Mishum asavim. Shemachmas lachluches hanir asavim olin alatzor. What are we concerned about? If you go ahead and relieve yourself in the field, you're going to pick up a stone to wipe yourself, and it could be because the field is now moist, there are grasses growing on the stone, and what may happen? You may come to detach the grasses from the stone to use the stone for wiping. But Reish Lakish said, if you have a stone, even if grass is growing on that stone, you are permitted to go and wipe yourself on it. But Reish Lakish is like this. You can wipe yourself with that stone. Why? Why? Because halacha lemaisa, even if you end up detaching the grasses from that stone, that's a davar shein miskaven. You don't have intention for that. And a davar shein miskaven is moturan Shabbos. However, if you intentionally detach the grasses from the stone, then you would be chayv achatos. Ela dilma nokit mi'iloi v'shada litasoi. That the Gemara says, no, maybe the problem over here is that you will take the stone, let's say, from the top of the furrow, and you'll put it in the bottom of the furrow. What does that mean? We saw this earlier, Rabbah say, Mechayiv Mishum de Rabbah. And you'll be chayiv because of Rabbah. What did Rabbah say? We had this Gemara earlier. Dama Rabbah, Haysa Laguma, V'tamima, V'bayis Chayiv Mishum Bona, U'bisoda Chayiv Mishum Choresh. That if you have a guma, if you have a hole in the ground, and you fill in that hole, if you did it in your house, you're chayiv because of building, and if you did it in your house, you're chayiv because of plowing. So that's the concern of using the sealed on Shabbos, that you may come to take a stone, let's say on the top of the furrow, and go ahead and put it in the actual furrow, leveling out the ground, and that would be a violation of charisha, of plowing on Shabbos. Remember, we learned this earlier, that any time you level out the ground, you are in violation of charisha. So the Gemara says, Gufa, Amar Reish Lakish, Sror sha'alu ba'asavim mutar lekaneachba. Reish Lakish says, if you have a stone, even if the stone has grasses on it, grasses growing out of it, you can use it for wiping on Shabbos. V'atol shemenu b'Shabbos chayiv chatos. But if you intentionally go ahead and what? Tear the grasses off the stone, then you're chayiv on Shabbos. So also remember, if it happened unintentionally, it's a davar shein miskaven. If you did it intentionally, then you're chayiv chatos. When we say did it intentionally, this is about did it intentionally. You had kavana to tear off the grasses, but of course your kavana was not to violate Shabbos. You're still a shogeg legabe Shabbos. So Amar Rav Papi Shmamina Midreish Lakish Hai Parfisa Shari Litaltule. What do we see from here? That this parfisa, look at Rashi. Rashi's parfisa is otzitz nokov. Otzitz nokov is a perforated flower pot. If you have a perforated flower pot, you're permitted to go ahead and move it on Shabbos. Look at Rashi. Otzitz nokov shezaru bo b'chuas hagor matzasi sha'osin tovlos mikapos tmarim. Skip down a little bit. All right, so here, this is actually just an interesting thing. Rashi over here quotes from a Tshuva of the Geonim that discusses, this is actually, the concepts that we have, we're not going to get into this now, but the two practices we have, interestingly enough, of Tashlich and Kaparos, both seem to stem from one practice that was practiced earlier on, according to the Tshuva of the Geonim, look at Rashi just a moment. Let's read inside. Rashi says the following. This is actually quite interesting. Rashi says, "Chuas hagaonim atzasi sha'osin toslos mikapos tmarim." They used to make these baskets from palm fronds. Umemalin osan offer. They would fill it with dirt, v'zevel behema and fertilizer. V'chaf beizotes hayom lefein Rosh Hashanah. 22 or 15 days before Rosh Hashanah, osin kol echad ve'echad l'shem kol katan uketan shem b'bayis. Every parent would make one of these baskets for each of the children in their house. Vizorin lasochan pula mitzri. They would plant in it. Pula mitzri, some kind of Egyptian lentil. Okitnis, or some other kind of lentil. Vikorin lo parfisa. They would call it parfisa. Vitzomeach. They would allow it to take root. Ube'erev Rosh Hashanah kol notel kol echad ve'echad shalo. umachziro svivas rosho shiva pamim. Va'omer zetachazeh, zetachazeh, zechalifasi, zetmurasi. Everybody would take this basket in which they planted this lentil seedling. They would wave it over their head and they would say, this should be instead of me, this should be instead of me. And what would they do with it? Umashlicho lenar. They would put it in the river. So it's like, what is it? It's a hybrid kaparis tashlich. Right? So they would again plant, they would plant this plant, which again, the reason they chose these lentils is because they took root and sprouted very quickly, representing this sapling. Remember, it's the same idea. The sapling represented potential. Sapling represented even life. They would say, zetach hazeh, zechalifasi, zetmurasi, and they would let it go. They would put it, let it float away in the river. So this is where our original, now we a lot of discussion about how we split it off into two practices, one called kaparus and one called tashlich. But it all originates from one central practice. Okay. Back to our scheduled program. So the Gemara says the following. So you see from here, so Abayi says you see from here, that this parfisa, this atzitz nakov, you are permitted to carry it on Shabbos. Meaning the same way that you're allowed to go ahead and pick up the stone that has grasses, and that's not called tolish, that's not called uprooting something. You could also go ahead and pick up a perforated flower pot on Shabbos. And I will say the chab of a perforated flower pot is the assumption is that because it's perforated, when it sits on top of the ground, it still draws certain nutrients from the soil, even though it's not rooted in the soil itself. Maski aflau Rav Kan is the kasho. Im amru l'tzorech, yomru shol l'tzorech. What are you talking about? Just because Chazal allowed you to do this by the stone, that's because you need the stone. But that doesn't mean that you could just go ahead and lift up the flower pots for no reason. Rabbaye parfisa hoil of asaliyad and lemo b'milsa. So Rabbaye said essentially, since you're already talking about parfisa, let's talk about it a little bit more. So the Gemara says, "Hayamunach al-gavi karka." Sabai says like this: if you had a parfisa, a perforated flower pot that was sitting on the ground on Shabbos, v'hinicho al-gavi yisedos, and then you lifted it up and you put it on pegs. So you put it like on a tripod, you put it on pegs. Mechayiv mishum tolish. You are chayiv because of tolish. Tolish means okay, darim makom gidula, uprooting something from the place where it grows. Hayamunach al-gavi yisedos. Conversely, if it was sitting on top of pegs, was sitting on top of a tripod, v'hinicho al-gavi karka, and then you placed it flush on the ground, then what? Chayiv mishum noteya. You are chayiv because of planting. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Asr lekaneach becheres b'shav. So we're switching gears again. Rabbi Yochanan says you may not wipe yourself with a pottery shard on Shabbos. My time. Well, what's the reason? Ilema mishum sakana. If it's because of sakana, we'll say there would be a very good reason not to use a pottery shard for one simple reason. It's a pottery shard, right? Meaning it's sharp. It's sharp, so it's probably not a good idea to use sharp instruments to wipe yourself. But if that's case, afikidu b'chol nami. If that's true, then even during the week, you shouldn't be able to do it. Ve'el mishum kshavim. Maybe it's because of sorcery. Now we'll discuss what that means in just a little bit. If that's the case, afikidu b'chol nami. If that's the case, then even during the week, you should be asr. Ve'el mishum ha'sharas nimin. But maybe it's because that if you use something sharp, you may inadvertently cut off some of the hairs in that part of the body, the sharpness of the pottery shard. If that's the case, davar shenu miskavenu. That's, you don't have kavanah for that. That's davar shenu miskavenu. That's not your intention. And therefore, that's mutter, we said. Armel hurad nasan bar oshia, gavra rabba amr milsa, nema bataima. So rabba said, Armel nasan bar oshia said, a great man said something, it behooves us to try to explain it. Lo mi boi b'chol da'asar. It goes without saying that you may not use a pottery shard on Shabbos. And I will say, we'll see why that is. Aval b'Shabbos, hoil v'ika toras kli alav shapir dami. I might have thought that even though it's really shouldn't use a pottery shard even during the week, but maybe on Shabbos you should. Why? Because using a pottery shard is at least better than using stones. Why? Because a pottery shard at least has the same kli. Rashi says, what can you use it for? You can use that to scoop out water, right? You can use it as a makeshift cup. So I might have thought that because of that me'ikar adin, it would be better to use that on Shabbos than using a stone. Kamash balo, no. That we still would rather you not use a pottery shard on Shabbos. Rava masni la mishum hasharas nimin. V'kashit Rabbi Yochanan. So, Rava wanted to say, the reason you can't use a pottery shard is because of the sharpness, you may come to inadvertently cut off some hairs, which would be an issue of gozes, of shearing on Shabbos. But if that's the case, that's a contradiction between those two statements of Rabbi Yochanan. Mi am Rabbi Yochanan, asa kanei pecheres b'Shabbos. Amad davar shenu miskavin aser. So apparently, if Rabbi Yochanan holds that you can't use a pottery shard to wipe yourself on Shabbos, that would be because a davar shenu miskavin is aser, right? Because you'll end up cutting off some hairs, and that means that a davar shenu miskavin is aser. But what about the fact that Rabbi Yochanan halacha kistan mishnah? But Rabbi Yochanan also says that the halacha follows a stan mishnah. What does the stan mishnah say? Utinan, we learned nazir. Chofef or mefasfes avalo sorek. A nazir is permitted. Chofef means rub. Mefasfes means disentangle by hand. A nazir is permitted to go and rub his head or detangle his hair by hand avalo sorek. But he may not comb his hair. And I will say why. Remember, a nazir is not permitted to cut his hair. Right? So he can't use a comb because that'll clearly take out hairs. But he can rub his head and he can disentangle by hand. Even though what? That will most probably lead to removal of some hair. But because that's not his kavana, therefore it's mutter. Because the Darshan is kavin, it's mutter. So you see again, this is a Stam Mishnah. So the Stam Mishnah says that halacha lamaisa, a Darshan is kavin is mutter. And Rabbi Yochanan holds that the halacha follows the Stam Mishnah. So it's contradictory to Rabbi Yochanan. So why would Rabbi Yochanan therefore not allow for the usage of the pottery shard on Shabbos? To which the Gemara says, Ela mechavarta kid Rav Nosson bar Oshia. Rather, it would seem to be that the halacha follows Rav Nosson. It seems to be clear, like Rav Nosson bar Oshia. Fine. So the Gemara says, again, at the end of the day, Mike Shafim, one of the reasons we gave for not using the pottery shard was because of Shafim, because of sorcery. So the Gemara says, what was the pshat with this? The Gemara gives a story. Ki hod Rav Chista Rav bar Avuna, havu ka'azli ba'arva. Rav Chista Rav bar Avuna, we're traveling in a boat. Amra lohu hahi matronisa. There was a particular matron, Rashi says, Nochris Haisa, non-Jewish woman, who said to them, I want to come with you in the boat. Velo osvuha, and they did not let her come into the boat. Amra ihi milsa, she said she apparently was some kind of sorceress, which would seem to indicate, it could be that they knew this, that's why they didn't want her to come in the boat with them. She said some kind of sorceress spell, and what happened? Asar tila arba. It prevented the boats from moving. Both couldn't move. Amru inhu milsu. They also said something. Rashi says, Ayde shem tara. They also said something using not sorcery, but using again shem Hashem and what? Sharyuha. That allowed the boat to move. Amru lahu. She said to them, Mai avad lahu. What can I do to you? After all, delo mikhanchu lahu bechasba. You don't wipe yourselves with pottery shards. Apparently what the Gemara is saying is like this, is that she was saying, had I been able to get a hold of a pottery shard that you had used, after cleaning yourself, I could have cast some type of spell on you. Okay? Furthermore, you don't kill lice while they're on your clothing. And you don't take a vegetable out of the bundle that the gardener has bound together. Rather, before you take a vegetable, you go ahead and you untie the bundle, take a vegetable first, and then tie it back up. So apparently, these are all things that if a person would do, would make themselves susceptible to the sorcerers. So the point over here is, the Gemara is not telling us the why. The Gemara is just using this episode to say that some people want to stay away from the pottery shard, because apparently it can be a problem on Kishuf. Alright, we'll stop over here. All right.